pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Pat.
Bowman.
Present.
Shoup.
Here.
McNaughton.
Here.
Moblo.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Place.
Here.
Jeff Ross.
Here.
Monica Ross.
Here.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, just bring your attention to the new technology that we have.
Perfect.
This is the OWL system, and we are the first test subjects to do this.
Right.
The meeting is being recorded and it's being broadcasted. So these two apparatus on each of these tables are the camera systems. Mm-hmm. And when someone speaks, they should focus on you. And then as people talk around, they'll shift from person to person. There is a little lag time, so
okay.
Maybe they begin talking and may not show up on the screen.
Okay, but it's going to pick up the audio.
Well, it has picked up the audio so far, and so far it's the last hour that we've been working with it seems to be working well, so
wonderful.
Hopefully we'll work any bugs out as we go through the meeting.
All right.
Very cool.
Very cool. Thank you, Scott. All right, let's move on to, is there anyone absent?
No.
We've got a full board today. Awesome.
All we right. Do have a vacancy, but...
What?
I said we do have a vacancy, but we do have a full board.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to consent agenda. The approval of minutes from January 17th, 2022.
Sure.
Yes.
I may have abstained since I wasn't here to the last
absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll make a motion to approve as presented.
Second then.
We have a motion and second. Roll call, Pat.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Place?
Aye.
Jeff Ross abstain. Monica?
I'm going to abstain because I missed half the meeting.
Bowman?
Aye.
Shoup?
Aye.
McNaughton?
Aye.
Moblo?
Aye.
Perfect. All right, let's move on to hearing citizens present on non-agenda items. All right, if anyone comes in later, we'll get back to that. That's reports of officers, boards, and standing committee. Scott?
I do have an update on the short-term rental, and I'll give that as part of my staff report.
Fantastic. Nothing else then? All right. Unfinished business, there's none. Move on to new business. A, public hearing, zoning ordinance amendment for private roads, standard selection 24.95.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we discussed last meeting, that the commission requested a public hearing be scheduled for a proposed ordinance amendment. What this ordinance amendment would do would change the requirements in section 2495 in regards to private roads. Basically, the amendments would be in 2495B, where existing language would be stricken and new language would be added that private roads shall be constructed to the following design standards. Private roads serving 4 to 6 or less residential lots shall meet all City of Boyne City municipal standards with the exception of the minimum pavement width, which may be reduced to 16 feet. Two, private roads serving 4 to 7 to 12 residential lots shall meet the City of Boyne City municipal standards with the exception that the minimum pavement width may be reduced to 18 feet. And three, all private roads servicing commercial lots, regardless of the number, and private roads serving or serve more than 12 residential lots shall meet all the design specifications and road construction standards as outlined in the Boyne City municipal standards. The commission also requested that a detail be included to show for a turnaround area. So these two types of turnarounds are designed, one a cul-de-sac and one T or hammerhead turnaround for the 16 and 18 foot widths. These were designed on a 40 foot long ladder fire truck. Is that what the city has? So it's designed to meet the turnaround for that. I had Fire Chief Avery review this, and he indicated that these would be sufficient for their needs. So, with that, this is a public hearing, so we can
open up to the public. Any public comment?
I have a couple of questions.
Okay, hold on just one.
Okay.
All right, then if there's no additions or questions from the public, I'll close it to the public and open it to the board. Monica, you have a question?
Yeah, under F, section 2495 F, I just want clarification. Why are we saying the maximum length of any private road cul-de-sac shall not exceed the city standard?
Well, that was existing language in this section.
Okay.
So I'm assuming, they tied it back to the standards when they wrote this ordinance.
What does it mean?
Is there a cul-de-sac standard already in place for standard white city roads?
Well, there's a maximum length of 600 feet for a dead-end road.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And then under H, the last sentence says, the city assumes no responsibility for maintenance or improvements on private roads, which I believe that I understand. And then under I, it's...
Monica, if I may?
Yeah.
The public hearing was announced to talk about the changes to the ordinance.
Okay.
All this is existing language.
Okay.
So really, the public hearing is kind of...
For the
change.
Okay.
Those specific changes.
I will ask you on a separate issue then, to clarify.
Okay. Any questions about the language that's looking to be changed and the inclusion of the cul-de-sac and hammerhead there?
Just on the two different versions, what the hammerhead and the cul-de-sac, so it would be up to the developer to choose which of those they would like to do.
Well, that's a great question. It would be going through Planning Commission for approval of the private road. There may be situations where a cul-de-sac is preferred over a T-design, or a T-design either way. So those are both acceptable designs. So there may be, I can't think of what, other circumstances there may be that may have a preference for one or the other, but it still would be reviewed by the Planning Commission that private road would have to be approved.
Thank you.
Okay. And for the layout for the hammerhead, those ends could be continued out in the driveways or anything like that.
You're right, okay. That's the minimum standard. So they could extend those, or they could put a driveway off and end those without any issue. Okay.
So any other specific questions? Okay. And this is the first public hearing.
This is the only public hearing.
All right.
The next step for the Planning Commission is to review the criteria for making a recommendation for the text amendment. We also in section 2.5B. I attached a draft checklist to review those. Again, these are the criteria that you review in making this determination. There's no requirement that one of them, or any of them, or all of them need to be met, but these are what you are required to review. You can't think of other things and review them as part of this. So this is your standards overview. So with that, you would make a recommendation to the City Commission. It would be forwarded to them for their first reading at the next available agenda, and then no less than 30 days after that, they can hold a second reading and formally consider adoption.
Does anyone have any questions before we go into the findings of fact?
Okay. Scott, can you quick question. Scott, you're talking about the maximum 600 feet for a dead end road. This came out of a development request.
Right, but Larry?
Yeah.
I appreciate that, but that's not actually part of anything that we're talking about within this change. So if it's something you'd like to ask after this, it's fine.
That's fine.
Right. Okay. All right, Scott.
Okay. Item one, proposed rule change, additions, helps to reinforce the comprehensive plan. There are master plan objectives to identify housing obstacles and work to address those. This would seem to fit that objective. Okay. Number two, the proposed rule change, the addition is in keeping with the spirit and intent of the ordinance and with the objectives of the zoning district. Here, the reduction of the pavement width will reduce development costs. Three, the problem or issue which the change is intended to address cannot be accomplished with another more appropriate fashion. There's no other way to change this other than the ordinance amendment. Number four, proposed amendment would correct an error in the ordinance that's not applicable. The proposed amendment would clarify the intent of the ordinance. Again, I think the ordinance is clear, so this is not really applicable. Six, documentation has been provided indicating problems and conflicts in implementation and/or interpretation of the specific sections of this ordinance. The implementation of this ordinance significantly increases development costs. Number eight, the proposed amendment would address potential legal issues or administrative problems that this ordinance faced on recent case law or opinions rendered by the Attorney General. That's not applicable. Proposed amendment would promote compliance with changes in other city ordinances and for county, state, or federal regulations. That's not applicable. Proposed amendment is supported by the findings of report studies or other documentation or functional requirements, contemporary building practices, environmental requirements, and similar technical items. Developer costs have increased significantly and have been identified as a barrier to development housing. And number 11, the criteria as determined by the county commission or city commission, which would protect health, safety, and welfare of the public, protect public and private investment in the city, promote implementation of the goals of the policy of the comprehensive plan, and enhance the overall quality of life in the city. The reduction of the pavement width requirements is proposed for low volume private roads that serve a limited number of dwellings. Change will lower development costs but maintain minimum widths needed for public safety. So that again, that's my draft. So if you have any additional changes, corrections, I'd be happy to incorporate those.
Is there any questions about any of these points?
I'm good.
I have a question.
Yeah.
In six, where it refers to the documentation provided under facts, it says implementation of this ordinance increases development costs. So wouldn't it be decreases if you do this change?
Yeah.
Well, the implementation of the ordinance change decreases.
Okay, so just as written, it would increase.
Yeah,
that's the way it was intended, the existing ordinance.
Okay.
At this point, if you want to move forward with this, we'd need a motion to accept the findings of fact.
I'll make a motion to accept the findings of fact and make a recommendation to the commission to move forward with the amendment.
Got a motion?
Second.
And a motion in a couple of seconds. roll call, Pat.
Jeff Ross.
Yes.
Monica?
Yes.
Bowman?
Yes.
Shute?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Moblo?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Place?
Yes. All right. Larry and Monica, do you mind if we move your questions for those once we get into the staff report, or at least back
to
that
point?
That's fine.
Okay.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right. Let's go and move on to the next line of business. Group update of Boyne City Participation Plan.
Thank you. As you recall, the public participation plan came up at the last city or the City Planning Commission meeting, and we were all ordered the electronic versions and then also supplied our copies of it in the packets. So this document was created as part of the RRC designation criteria, and it was developed 2013, 2014, and all there. It does intend to be a living document and be updated as necessary. So there is no organization or body that, you know, takes possession of this plan. It's a citywide plan, but as the Planning Commission, it seems like an appropriate place to review and comment on it. So it's been supplied to you, and any changes, updates, or additional items you'd like us to consider, I'd be more than happy to include them. Of course, we're going to update it with some of the technology we've got today. You know, that's one new aspect of our public participation. I think also we've done other things. I have our social media manager, another attempt to, you know, get more of a presence and input. So, but any other ideas, and I'd be happy to consider them and put them into the plan.
All right. At this point, I'll open up to the community. Do they have any questions? Or? All right. I'll hear the back and forth. All right, Scott. So where is this being broadcasted to? Where can people actually pick it up and watch?
Well, right now it's a kind of a test.
Yeah.
And Mr. Payne did it as a Zoom meeting.
Oh.
And he sent out invites to the commissioners and some others to log in and see how it works. Once it becomes fully live, I imagine, just like, you know, Zoom meetings were done before.
Yeah.
You know, there would be an address and people could click on that, and then, you know, they could view that way.
Okay.
Or I'm not sure if there's another way it's broadcast on Facebook or something.
Yes. Facebook and or YouTube, and we're still experimenting with getting that set up, but or it could be all three: Zoom, okay. Facebook, and YouTube.
Right.
So you could subscribe to the YouTube channel, which we don't have right now, but Barb is getting that set up, and you know, we have like 4,500 followers on our Facebook page, and so. The thing I like about it, I think it could be done for all committee meetings, boards and commission meetings, you know. So right now, yes. It's only done, we do the city commission meetings live, and then they're recorded for watching later. But we could theoretically do every board and commission meeting, and I think that is the intent.
Like I said, I had about an hour of training on it today, and so it's not complicated. Just got to download an app and then, you know, plug it in and play. It seems to be working pretty well, so it seems like it's fairly easy to use, and hopefully we'll get those other items up to make it easier on the other end to observe.
Does it only capture front, or does it capture public?
Well, it should. Anybody speaks.
1, 2, 3, test.
There you go. So
there you go.
Here.
Yeah, it's 360 degrees.
Yeah.
Nice.
Huh.
Nice technology.
Yeah,
I like how you get all those.
It's pretty fantastic.
Pictures
of windows.
Yeah.
Owl is the company. I'm not sure. Maybe Jim knows.
Jim sent me an email about it like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it was about $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to be, you know, reasonably priced and pretty effective. So.
So when did the month trial start?
Probably yesterday, or because I might wanted to order it in time to get two commission meetings within that 30-day period. So,
I think it arrived on last Wednesday or Thursday, and we were playing with. I think the big test is going to be at the city commission meeting. You know, for most smaller meetings, it would work. I think it would work quite well. If we have 50 people in here, remains to be seen how that works.
The one thing, people would have to remain relatively quiet, because it will pick up chatter and peeping and that kind of thing.
And possibly, you know, for the last few meetings, we've been having citizen comments go to the podium,
mm-hmm.
and there's a microphone there, and so that I think has worked better, and that will make it work better also.
Yeah, we can work on that as we go.
Yeah, it's going to be figuring it out as we go.
Now, one other thing is talking about organizations, and I thought about, did anyone here actually go to the team board meetings?
Well, I'm the chairman of it. So I usually go.
Jim, I didn't know that. But it was just, I was thinking about some of the organizations along the Team Boy that having us be involved in or just touch base in, because one of the part is obviously streaming what's going on in the meetings, but the other part is listening to what's going on out in the community. And if we really look towards, hey, how many of us are already going to these meetings? And then can really hear what's going on, what people are saying. That's very helpful. So, yeah, it was just a thought. And I know team part of this is talking about the organizations within Wooden City and at least tapping into them for other projects which we have done. So,
are our agendas put on Facebook also, or?
Well, I'm going to start doing that, and I talked about that last meeting, and I just haven't gotten to it yet. But we'll start doing that, or at least saying a couple days ahead of time, or whatever it is, that you know the Parks and Recreation Commission will be meeting on Thursday at this time. Click here to see the agenda. And I was just talking to Pat about who sends out each agenda, so I can get on those lists and. I will know when they, you know, when the agendas come out.
So. I mean, it would be interesting to have the agenda on the Facebook, but then not necessarily the whole package. You know, the whole package would go to the city website, you know, just...
Well, either way, you put a link and it goes to the city website. So, yeah, we're not going to put a long Facebook post. It'll mainly say the meeting is this time, and click here for the agenda, and then you get the entire agenda packet if you want.
Didn't know whether just putting some agenda items right on Facebook, just kind of a listing, could help more people understand what the topics are without having to go to the
And that's what I do for this meeting and the city commission meeting. I just kind of do a bullet points of what the is, and if you want the details, you've got to click and
good.
Yeah.
Did you decide if you were going to do the same thing, just do a little thing in the Boyne Chamber
newsletter? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The way I see it, and I'm open to ideas, but it would be like next week's
meetings,
city meetings.
And click then, if you want to.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I have a couple questions. So you said this was edited compared to the previous, is that what you said?
No.
No, so this has had no edits?
No.
None whatsoever. Okay. So are we looking to do that tonight, or is that something that you will partake on? Is it going to be...
Well, if you have suggestions, I'd be happy to incorporate those into these.
Okay, well, I know that in the version that I had brought to the last meeting, it had a specific employee in there, which is no longer...
Yeah, page 6, Cindy Grace.
So that should be edited out. Also in here is a pretty lengthy list of previous community meetings, but these are all the way from like 2005 to 2007. I think it's outdated. Maybe you can update that list, maybe look up a new one. Also in here, I think it would be partly transparency, partly accountability to include when this was originated, and any days or any edit dates or when it's been because it says it should be reviewed annually, but just to like people running logs to keep us accountable. Because I know I'm not keeping my agenda packets for years on out. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And then you said that this is call it a living document in it because it's a city one, so some of these vague descriptions of, you know, it's like who, you know, like a systematic plan, the who to designate, and in here it's kind of like vague terminology, doesn't describe a specific person and or body. Is that a mistake? Are you guys since the living document not necessarily attached to any one community or?
I guess I'm looking for a specific example.
So in here. Take for in the closing statement, it's like the plan will be formally reviewed on an annual basis, and then a city official will be responsible for keeping records. It's just, you know, that's the vagueness of it, so that's kind of why.
Yeah, no one was ever appointed to be steward of this document, so that probably has to remain vague. Because it's really not a planning document that this body has authority over and is required or responsible for. It's more of a citywide document. So the ultimate would be the city commission, and when they formally agreed to the certification of the RRC, and then when they final, you know, first time approval of this document. So I would suggest that perhaps we make some amendments, suggested amendments for it, and forward on them for their consideration.
So, with your comment about dated information, mm-hmm. Can you add an example? The current community dialogue regarding food trucks. I mean, that's pretty ancient.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. In here was also like made mention of the point is that that's no longer in for publication purposes. That's no longer a running publication, so that should be taken out. Talked about running on the radio with AM stations only. I know that was something we discussed in our last meeting, potentially adding the FM stations.
I think it's the radio.
Okay.
Mentions the Boyne City Gazette, which doesn't exist.
I actually met with my 98-year-old aunt over the weekend for tea and discussing her political and education and such, and she still listens to the radio, CMU and NPR on a regular basis. In fact, she had to go wait the whole time. So there is still a demographic out there that utilizes the radio, especially AM, so not counting it out, just trying to like broaden. You know what? Maybe we have more time. Just about.
I listen to pop radio all day.
Okay, so then on page 18, under social networking, it again talks about the Miss Doyle will respond to public posts on her no later than 24 hours. Is that going to be?
No later than that.
Delete it.
We'll review it.
Are we going to be, because that kind of puts that we're going to be expected to reply to any comments? I'm not sure that's
well, on Facebook comments, I don't think we have a person that replies, but people can inquire through the website, and those inquiries are forwarded on to.
Right, but this designates specifically in social networking.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't think we want to put Jim on that task of responding to all.
Well, I mean, I do respond to some, right? They don't always get great reviews when I do.
Right, but just on our...
But I mean, if it's a simple question, you know, I don't like to get in the middle of controversy, but if somebody says, like, there was one a couple days ago, wasn't there contamination on the Lofts on Lake Street site? And it was addressed in the meeting agenda, and it said there was a grant for that, and it's been that contamination has been cleaned up, so it's a, you know, so.
Just wondering if we need to have that in there, if we want to have the expectation of no later than 24 hours after a post is made. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, we can probably reword that to be monitored and respond accordingly or forward to.
Scott, I've got one question though. It says, I guess back to page 19, towards the end, evaluating effectiveness of the participation efforts. And it says the plan will be formally reviewed on an annual basis, going back to Nicole's comment about, you know, update. Perhaps it needs to be a scheduled agenda item.
And that would be something that the city commission would be.
Well, the city commission would approve the plan, and then the planning commission can implement its parts of it. Oh, there is a requirement for gauging public participation or evaluating it. And as a commission, yeah, you make that an agenda item, and you do that on an annual basis.
I think that when we review our schedule for the year, if this was part of it, I think that then we'll be handled the same time every year. Is it, you guys understand?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that would be good. So when we go over when we're going to have our meetings the following year, just go over this, would be good.
Okay. Can I ask who in here uses Twitter?
And I know that captures a lot of the youth. So part of this is it designates in here capture the young kids.
Sure, go ahead. I mean, I'm on it, but I don't see a lot of other people from Boyd City on it, but just curious.
And then one thing about Facebook, Jim, is that there have been a few times when we've had a meeting in the Planning Commission where we've changed timing to allow more people to come, like move the date time later. Well, I guess that would be something that just need to be corresponded to that as well, and obviously, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and the same thing happens with the city commission.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is there any other recommendations?
Well, just a clarification. So when it gives examples, it talks about, you know, how we went about the design concepts for the pavilion, talks about the dog park. When you say updated, are you going to update projects or leave those old ones in?
Well, by putting those specific examples and those, that kind of dates the plan. So I don't know if you need those in there. More generic language that what the process is as opposed to specific examples of what it did.
That sounds like a good idea.
Great.
Yeah, those are education too of how some of these processes work.
Well, I mean, we have what a shred is and what input meeting is, and one-on-one, those things are already in there, so.
And is this, because I did not find this on the website, is this on the city's website?
I don't think so.
And is that something that we could have accessible somewhere in the federal information? I know the whole
should
thing be overhauled potentially.
Shouldn't this thing be tightened up? I mean, if we want people to read it, it's 20 pages long. I mean, I think we could cut it in half.
Yeah.
I mean, if we want people to read it and pay attention to it, otherwise people are going to look at it and say, I got better things to do, you know.
Yeah.
So.
How do you work on that?
I mean, I'm a former editor. I could help with that a little bit too, probably, so.
All right. Any other questions about Larry? Good.
Okay.
All right, good. If anyone has, okay, let's move on to the review of the capital improvement plan.
Each year, as part of the city's budgeting process, develops the capital improvement plan. As part of that process, it comes to the planning commission for their review and comment. Unfortunately, this year, we're working at a little bit of a disadvantage as we do not have a DPW director that also takes over the Parks and Recs. So a lot of the identification of those projects and the values for those haven't been determined yet. So we did the best we could with the staff we got and get the proposed in front of you. So this is the capital projects for the next 6 years. And this is brought to you for your review comment.
One quick question, Scott, for, it's a quick question, but in the, and this may be Tom can answer, overall goal of the city, would it be to get all residents within city limits on sanitary sewer? Is that an overall goal at all that would be embraced by the city? I don't see it in some of the goals.
Well, it's
goals, City of Boise City goals 2018-2020, is that kind of long term or has it been discussed? Or?
Well, that's, the goals probably need to be updated. Typically, they're after every election, the new commission usually has the most of the goal plus the process. We talked about having a joint meeting and looking down that road, so that would be a great discussion item at that time.
Okay, so that has, it is not a policy at this point to try and implement?
No, we've been working off these goals here for the last 3-4 years.
Okay.
And I think to go along with that topic, it gets complicated and it gets expensive. So
yes, true.
So, our neighborhood, up there by Roosevelt Street, which is a block from the sewage plant, is all private septic. So at what point do you spend millions and millions and millions to go through and put in water, sewer, and storm, and sidewalks, and curb and gutter, and the homes that are along there don't have to necessarily hook up, and if they do hook up, it's at their expense. So it's really complicated. We get criticized for not having gravel roads, and usually when you redo a road, you want to encompass the full water, sewer, curb, gutter, sidewalk, streetscape,
right.
And so it becomes cost prohibitive. Usually when you see a city redo roads, you're using a lot of grant money, state money, local money, county money. And when we reach out and try to sell the gravel roads, there's no grant money available for those, so it becomes even more expensive. And then you don't know if people are going to hook up or not. When we had 26 homes on water, what street is that going out towards?
West Michigan.
26 potential, and I think only 13 hooked up.
Same with Advance.
Mm-hmm. Went out to Advance, and we had the reason it was Advance paid for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Somerset paid for the whole thing. We had 26 homes within the city limits to hook up, and not very many did. Mm-hmm. So, Larry, I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah,
it's complicated.
Interesting.
You can't require that if the sewer, I'm thinking back to my childhood, and when water and sewer went in front of our house, we were not required to hook up to the water. That was exactly what you're saying. It's whenever you want to. Sewer was a requirement. If sewer went past your house, you had no choice, but you had to hook up.
Yeah.
Does that not apply anymore, or there's no laws for that?
I can't answer that. That'd be for Mark Fowler, superintendent of street of water and sewer.
For new builds, though, right? You have to be No? Okay.
No, because...
Well, for new builds, if it's within a certain distance of the sewer, the health department's going to make a...
She was a 10-year appropriation, having a cost.
But no, there's no septic mandated inspection, only when a house is being sold, correct?
No, no, that's, there's been efforts...
That's countywide.
On a regional statewide basis to do that, but that's not really gone anywhere.
Okay, but it is, a septic inspection is required when a house is sold.
No.
No, only if the lender requires it, and oftentimes the lender will require it. But it was, that rule was county by county. It started in Shiawassee County, and several counties downstate have adopted it, but it's county by county. If the state has no mandate, but many of the lenders will not give you a mortgage unless you have it inspected. Providence up here, a lot of people pay cash.
Okay. I see the theater project is on this?
Yeah, it's remained on it. It was on last year, and it had moved to fill the same slot, the same mall.
Sure, can you scroll it up, please?
This is which project, excuse me?
The theater, the Boyne Theater.
Okay. And where is that?
That's in 2024, 2025.
24, 25.
And that's under Main Street.
That's under Main Street, yeah. I think. Well, it was just interesting because I remember that project.
Grants, others.
I don't have my mouse. Hand fist goes thing here.
But these are just estimates. I mean, if a grant dropped in our lap with all this federal money that might be out there right now, we would
have... Well, yeah, this should not be confused with the budget.
Right.
This is a planning document to look down the road, mm-hmm. and then, you know, some are targets of opportunity. So if a grant comes available, you can pursue that. Sometimes grants become available or money becomes available at a different time period, so a project may get moved up. But this just gives you a guideline of, you know, what are your priorities in the next 6 years. And then as you budget each year, you review this and you know, identify which ones are going to be funded, and then you budget.
I have a question. Vogel Street seems to be on here 3 different times over the course of the next 6 years. Okay. Or not Vogel. Yeah, Vogel's on here twice, and then Lincoln is on here twice.
The
two different components of these
ones, the
streets?
Okay. Yeah. That would be a question I would refer to the other
direction.
Okay. I
didn't
know what
we had. Right, and I know Vogel does too.
Yeah, there may be certain aspects of that project.
And then going down the years, and there's quite a jump in pricing from like this year to the end of the year. Right, I mean, but there's like not anything on the list hardly, that's what I'm asking.
Well, there's not much on the list because a lot of the projects usually come through the DPW and Parks and Rec.
And
we don't have those personnel to identify those projects yet. So.
And then on the streets component for this year, it makes note of which streets are addressed, but going forward there's nothing, but there's still money allocated for these.
Well, some of them are on there. The
yeah,
big ones. If you look at the largest item
fixes,
on each.
If you look under the mix of fixes, there's nothing.
What specific year or age?
Well, the only one that has anything on is for this year, so that we don't have to put numbers on. So if you look at 2022, mix of fixes, in parentheses, it has different street names. And then if you go to 2023, it does not.
So typically, what they do is they have to know that they're going to budget that money. So that's the capital improvement amount they're going to do. And then as they get closer, they identify what roads are going to be included in that budget. is to do this annual
review.
Pacer study.
Right.
Right, so that's what we identify that money is spent.
Nicole, there's a street reconstruction that's in underneath just the street fixes.
Right.
That's the big project of the year. And you know, they have that Pacer rating system, and so I think that's why that is, when it says mix of fixes, it's like, you know, we don't know what it's going to look like on a certain street.
That may be
3 years from
now. A period of capital investments to include tarring and, you know, joint fixing and things like that, and that are unknown locations so far.
But then also, like you talked about before, the grants become available for fixing streets and things like that. Then we've got some money already proposed for those years that we can use towards it. It's just a good way to make sure you always have money available.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I just want clarification
sure.
why it wasn't noted for specific sections.
Could it also be, Scott, that where it says mix of fixes and then it says Jefferson, Vogel, Pearl, those had some... When we filmed underground all the sewer systems, we found some things, maybe not a major project, but fixes
right.
on those streets. Because
so
we have.
Those are priority streets, and what fixes may be specifically needed are unknown at this time.
I think a lot of it has to do with how bad the winter is and which streets get the most damage.
Well, the unforeseen things happen, like right. you know, the erosion along the lakeshore. And you know, the efforts that had to be needed to take you know, shoreline. Lakeshore Drive, fix that.
Any other questions or suggestions for the review?
I think it's a pretty impressive list. You know, it's good to put all that stuff on there, and you know, you look what you know, just put the major stuff on there and it's a tickler file. It's like, you know,
I think we've got a very nice Parks and Rec program, and I'm looking forward to all the improvements on open space and handling.
Yeah.
So you'd be very welcome.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move on to staff report. Go ahead, Scott.
A couple of items. The training that was coordinated with RMC has been scheduled. That will be April 11th, that's a Monday, at 6 p.m. in this room. I'm not sure we'll have a registration for it or how they're going to work it, but basically all RRC certified or engaged communities will be able to send representatives. As you may recall, when we did this last time, that they had enough extra spots that we could open up to some of the surrounding townships that weren't engaged in the community. So if that does happen, I'll let those folks know. But I haven't gotten the official invite from it yet, so once I get that, I'll send it on. But mark that day in the calendar for April 11th at 6 o'clock.
Could I just ask, what specifically is it going to be encompass?
There was three training modules that they developed, and we talked about them. I can't remember specifically, but it was like open meetings or legal meetings, or you know, how to make legal defensible decisions, that kind of thing. I have to go back and see what we talked about.
It's stuff like that was in that flyer we got in the mail.
Well, they specifically developed these programs based on the input that we gave them.
Okay.
Yeah. So I will get back with you and get you specifically looking for. And then the city commission has set three meeting dates for short-term rental discussion. They decided that they were going to act as the task force, and then the community would be invited to all these meetings, and so they could gather input. So that begins on April 7th. The next one's April 21st. Then the third one is May 5th. Additional meetings will be scheduled if needed. So anyone interested in that is more than encouraged to come to those meetings and participate.
What time?
I believe they were 5:30.
That's what I've got.
Yeah, 5:30. And Lost on Lake Street is wishing to the city to act as a grant applicant for them and is coming to the city commission tomorrow asking for help to submit a grant for $3.9 million from the state to help cover the gap that they have right now to build the facility. The costs have gone up extreme amount in the last year and a half, 2 years, and so those were kind of unforeseen circumstances. So they're looking to see if they can secure additional funding from the state, and they would need the city to act as the applicant. We did the same thing for the brownfield cleanup they did on the site. That was a $750,000 grant, and basically it passed through the city. There's no cost to the city. It's just basically administrating the dollars as they come in to go out. So this is a very kind of similar request. That's all I have.
Sure. I want to go back. I mentioned the hearing for citizens present. We're not at the time. Mm-hmm. We now have some. Is there any discussion from citizens present?
No, just a hello. Oh. I'm finally not busy, so I snuck in to say hi.
That's wonderful. That's good.
All right. Let's move on to the good of the order.
Can I get a quick...
Yeah.
I think I missed the important part.
Yes, you did.
You did.
Was there a first reading on item 7?
No, there was a public hearing, and that was recommended to the city commission to be put on their agenda for a first reading.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Scott. I have to reorder. This time, if you want to go back to those questions you had, Monica and Larry, this would be a good time.
All right. Okay. I just have a question for clarification.
I'll ask Brandon then. You had talked about the maximum length of any dead end private road is 600 feet.
No, I believe the municipal standards has maximum length of private road is 600 feet. So
okay.
If you have to follow the municipal standards,
unfortunately, the gentleman left, but does his development require anything longer than 600?
No,
no.
I believe it was 570 feet.
Okay.
My only other question was under item H, the city assumes no responsibility for the maintenance or improvement of private roads, which I totally agree with. But then under I, it says the applicant shall submit a joint maintenance agreement or master deed which runs with the land benefiting the parcels and allows city to make repairs or conduct any maintenance it deems necessary. Isn't that phrase contradictory to what it says right above?
No, I think that would be more of an emergency situation where a private road may be failing and the city would have to act immediately
I just wanted clarification because it seemed to be contradictory.
Or maintain the water and sewer.
A similar situation occurred out here with the erosion along Lakeshore. Mm-hmm. Because that property towards the lake is private property, but it was eroding.
Mm-hmm.
And it was threatening the road, so the city had to take immediate action to fix that before the road failed.
Okay.
You know, it's on private property.
I just wanted clarification.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to move page for that.
That's a good question. I believe the property owners worked together because there was a number of them that had project improvements along there.
Okay.
anything to add?
Interestingly enough, I had a piece of property I just sold up on Hull Street in Pines and Boynton. And lo and behold, I received an unsolicited letter saying that, you know, owner of property in Charlevoix County, an investment group is looking to buy vacant property in Boynton City. I don't know whether it is a scam, but it's, you know, something from Los Angeles. Yeah, it's like, don't know.
Yeah. Is there a new person or a guy?
I'm too concerned trying to apply my own help, which we are still looking. So, as soon as we get some good candidates, hopefully we'll get some interviews.
Is it a lot tougher? I mean, the private market is tough. Is it same for municipal?
Yeah. We advertise on the Michigan Association of Planning website. Last time I checked, there was over 50 openings. That's way more than I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. If there was a dozen, that was a lot. So there's lots of competition out there. But hopefully we'll get some candidates there. And then, you know, the other half of the coin is finding a spot to live when they move here. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, but then also the position of your assistant, there have been a lot of people that's usually been a stepping stone to somewhere else. So it's kind of...
It is. You know, it's like a 3 to 5 year window, and then, you know, they move on. So trying to find someone in that right niche that has some experience but is looking for, you know, kind of not a full responsibility position, but something that...
Is this something that a new college grad, an assistant to you, a new college grad in like public administration might be interested in? Maybe we should be advertising at the colleges. Graduation's coming up.
The colleges know where the math is.
Okay.
What about our vacancies? Are we going to be? I know we talked about there was 3 applicants.
Right. The mayor is taking that under his responsibility to review. The Planning Commission appointments are specifically outlined in the Michigan Planning Enabling Act. So that's how that is controlled, and what that says is that the mayor will appoint with confirmation by board. So under that direction, the mayor is at his the pleasure to appoint, and then the City Commission would have to.
So what you're saying is that we probably won't be part of the process?
It's up to the mayor. You know, for years, the City Commission requested their various boards and commissions give recommendations to them. There's no policy or statute or anything that requires that. That was more something to get their input. I don't know if it'll go back to that or not. I'm still waiting to hear exactly.
Is there any way to pass that along to the mayor? That it would be really nice to find that out so we can move forward and fill in the vacancy.
I think he's going to address it soon. So I expect that in the next meeting or two that we'll have direction on exactly how these appointments are going to be.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, it's possible that he could continue the same past practice, right?
Oh, we can all. I think the biggest thing is that as a board, I think that we really need to know. And then the other thing is that it would be nice to. We've had a pretty good job of keeping a full board, or at least if we've had a few off, try and get people to replace as soon as possible. And I'd like to continue that trend because not every board has that opportunity.
He might be listening.
That's fine.
Hi, Hugh.
All right. Anything else, Scott? All right. Anything else?
I'd be interested in attending that training in the break rooms. Is that something that I talked to you about, Scott, or Pat? Or?
Pat.
Okay.
All right. At this point, I need a motion for adjournment. I'll say it. Motion second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. I'll meet you back here at our next meeting, March 21st, 2022.